Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
You guys get better looking every Sunday. Wow. Woo. Love you. Just look at your neighbor right now and say, I'm so glad you get to sit next to me. Look at your second choice and say, you're lucky too. All right. Find a seat, you social butterflies. Wow. I love our church. I love every campus. I love every service. But there's just this little spot in my heart for the Central 5 p.m. Because this crowd is in fuego for our South Campus people visiting, okay? On fire, okay? I'm excited to be here. Can I just hit up on these little six packs that we got here? Come on, for some of you, it's time to redeem a six pack in your life, but you know what I mean. But take six of these cards. Take six of these cards and be the invitation. I encourage you, maybe even take two packs. You know, somebody, I want to challenge you guys. If somebody hadn't invited me and my wife to C3 Church, I don't know where we'd be. To be honest, I don't know where we'd be. I don't know how we'd be. I don't know if we'd still be in San Diego. We didn't move here for this church, but we got told about this church by actually someone in Northern California that told us about this church. And you know, if I ever bump into those people again, because like they were kind of acquaintances, but I will thank them sternly because that one invite changed my entire destiny and my entire life. And so, be that person for somebody. Be that person that in heaven there'll be a lineup and saying, you know what? I need to thank that one invite changed everything. You know, for all the messages that have changed me, for all the prophecies that have changed me, for all the powerful worship nights that have changed me, none of that would have been possible without an invite. Think about that. The most important thing that happened in my world was the invite, because nothing else could have happened without the invite. I want to encourage everyone, be the invitation. I want to welcome you on live stream too. Welcome. We're glad you're joining us. You're going to get impacted in your living room or kitchen or bedroom, wherever you are. You're going to get impacted, so get ready. Get ready. Before I start, I want to honor our pastors, Pastor Jurgen and Leanne. They are the world's best. And I've said it before in an offering message, but never let familiarity breed, a lack of knowing what you have. We have the best of the best in this house. They are the best of the best, and we're so blessed. And I also want to just thank our campus pastors, John and Becky. Becky, you are amazing, and John, you're amazing if you're watching over there in Australia. Me and Lauren owe you guys so much, just training us, teaching us how to be awesome, really. So, and we're killing it now, so great job. All right, let's get started. We're in our new series called Thank God It's Sunday. And remember TGIF? Remember the TGIF lineup? Right, Urkel, remember that? Anybody, old school, anybody? Come on, somebody in my generation, help me out here, yes. TGIF, that was good stuff. Well, this is TGIS, Thank God It's Sunday. And I was thinking about this new series and how much Sunday means to me. I was thinking about Easter is next week, and you know what Easter really means is that Sunday lives in us every day. That's what Easter means, that the resurrection life that we experience here in the house of God lives in us every single day. But there's something around getting around other people with that resurrection life. There's something about the atmosphere in the house. Have you ever put a couple candles next to each other? You ever see what happens to the flame? The flame goes way up. There's something about that extra fuel, that getting around other people on fire, that sets your life ablaze. So never forsake the corporate gathering, getting together with believers. And make sure it's here on fire, believers. You know what I mean? Like, you don't want to hang out with people that kind of quench your fire, you know? Hang out with the people that spark fire. And if you're in a row right now and you're not used to being a fire starter, I encourage you, just give it a go today. If you've never shouted down the preacher, give it a try. Give it a try. It ain't gonna hurt you. It ain't gonna hurt. All right, I'm going to get into this. My title of my message is Seven Reasons I Love Sunday. Seven Reasons I Love Sunday. And we're going to do a little ministry at the end here because I want you guys to leave here empowered to be the invitation. Pastor Chittick preached an excellent message this morning. You need to podcast it. But we want to have transformation in us so we operate out of the overflow on the invite. People go, I don't know what's up with you, but I will smoke whatever you're smoking. I want to drink whatever you're drinking. I want whatever you have. And so we got to operate out of the overflow. The other day I was getting a haircut because I like to look fresh and I was getting ready for a wedding. And I'm trying this new do. I'm not sure yet. But I go to get a haircut and I love getting haircuts. Like I'm like, oh man, barber or barberess, whatever, whoever you are, you are going to get it. You have to be cutting my hair. So you're going to hear an invite to church. So I'm sitting there and I sit down and this girl named, I forget her name, but no, actually I do know her name, but I invite her to church. And if she listens to this podcast, I don't know if she wants her name. So this girl is cutting my hair and I begin to talk with her, strike up conversation, ask her how her life is, ask her what's going on. Casual. I'm not weird about it. You know, don't be the person who's like, hi, my name is Matt. You need to come to church. You know, like, let's get to know each other. So I'm talking with her and I ask her, you know, how long have you been cutting hair and all that? And she opens up and she tells me she just moved from Texas and I could see there was something behind that, you know? So I'm like, I'm putting it back in my mind. We're gonna bring that up again. So we start talking and she asked me what I do. Now it's harder for me, people, just so you know, because when you're a pastor, it's like instantly, like you tell them what you do and they're like, whoa, gosh, what did I say any cuss words earlier? You know, they start, you see them, they're thinking, what did I say prior to this? So you who are not working at the church, you have an advantage because they don't automatically assume that you're going to judge or something. So I tell her, I'm a pastor. And she goes, oh, okay. You know, and I was like, we start talking more and it just begins to unfold that she moved here because of a real bad breakup in Texas. And she moved here and she was going through stuff. And I'm like, you know, hey, you're having a fresh start. You should come check out our church. And she's like, you know what? I'm going to do that, you know? And so we get started and she lives up in North Campus and I'm hoping she went tonight. I'm going to get another haircut just to check. This is the expensive evangelism, but I'm going to have to get another haircut just to check. Cause I didn't want to ask for a number cause that could come off creepy. Anyways. And so I invited her to church, but in the midst of our conversation, she tells me about her previous church experience. And here was what she told me. She said, you know, I did used to go to church. Whenever I got in trouble as a teenager, my parents would make me go to church. Now listen, if you're a parent in the house or online and you've done that, no shame, no guilt, but don't do that again. Because you are hardwiring that kid to associate church with a punishment. I love my parents. I didn't have perfect parents, but I had good parents. But one thing they did right is I did not see church as a punishment. I actually had in my mind that there was a service went like this. I went to kids' church, but this is how I thought big church. This was the order of service. Music. Well, actually, first there are people outside that said hi to you. Then music. Then a guy talked for a really long time. Then they prayed for people. Now I'm that guy. Then they prayed for people. And then you went out for pizza after. I thought that was all part of church. Every Sunday, we went out to Straw Hat Pizza, okay? Now, why I say my parents weren't perfect is they told me that the arcade games work without quarters, but it was just a shorter game. They lied to me, okay? Anybody else used to play the little preview, think you were playing, but you weren't? And then you had the revelation, I'm not actually playing the game? Yeah, counseling. Counseling will fix it. Anyways, church was not a punishment to me growing up. And I think the Lord is. And now listen, whatever your background is, you're in a good soil now and you're in a good church now, but I want to encourage you today to make a decision that church becomes a non-negotiable in your world. I want to encourage you in that, and I want to point out some things that happen every day in church, every Sunday here at this church that you can come expectant. So first, number one reason I love church, the preaching of the word. You are not going to show up to church and the word not preach. Now, why do I love the preaching of the word? I love it whether I'm preaching it, but I actually sometimes love it more when I'm hearing it. And the reason I engage with the preacher, by the way, for those of you who are new to church, we engage with the preacher, but there's a reason behind it. It's not just because we think we're really cool and we like to yell. We actually have a reason for it. And here's the deal. When the word is proclaimed, then God can confirm what was proclaimed. That's how God works. There's this small preacher in Africa named Reinhard Bunke. He's doing a little ministry down there. And he said it like this. That's a joke. He's led like almost 100 million people, not exaggerating, to Jesus. It's insane. Look up Reinhard Bonnke on YouTube. Blow your mind. But he said it like this. He said, there must be a proclamation before confirmation. God cannot confirm what is not preached. God cannot confirm what is not preached. So when you hear a preacher say something like Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits. He forgives all my iniquities. When that word is shot out there, he forgives all your iniquities. It's been released. And now God is waiting for you to say, confirm that in me. God, forgive me for that thing I did last week. Forgive me for that mistake I made. He's waiting to confirm it. He doesn't just want the word said. He wants to confirm. And he just needs a little bit of faith on our part. That's why I get my body into it. When somebody says something that I need, I'm out of my seat and I'm pointing my finger and I'm just letting God know I would love a confirmation of what just God said in my world. That's why I love preaching around giving. Because there's always something like, hey, if you give, it'll be given back to you. And that's when you'll see me, boom, confirm that, Lord. Make it a confirmation right here. But that's how God works. He confirms his word. That's why we get into the preaching. I want to encourage you, shake off the cobwebs. It's not hype, it's hope. It's the real deal. Live stream, come on, you can confirm me right now in your house. Freak out your cat, let's go. Point number two, actually I wanna share a story because all these things are attached to testimonies. Where's Jeff Q? Jeff Q, you in the house? This guy, stand up, Jeff Q. So he's been sitting in church. Ladies, I think he's still single right now. So, just saying, that a boy. Jeff Q has been sitting in this church hearing the word of God, and he's been hearing that he's the head, not the tail. And so we had lunch over a year ago, and he said, you know what, man? I've been hearing this word. I just started this new job. I'm going to be the number one sales rep. I'm going to get a promotion, and I'm going to do it in a year, which no one's done. Well, guess what happened? He was number one. He got a promotion. He went to Cancun or some other beach, and then he got, and now he's here. There it is. Word was proclaimed. He claimed it, and God is good on his offer. He wants to confirm it. It's the kindness of the Lord that leads to repentance. It is God's faithfulness in your world that makes people go, huh, it's signs and wonders, signs that make people wonder, what are they on, and I want some. Point number two, why I love church, prophecy. I love prophetic words. And this church is a spirit-filled church, and we bring in prophetic preachers. And listen, I'm not just talking about the, you know, pull out one person, point them up. You know, you wear a bright shirt to church. You're like, okay, prophecy shirt on. Come on, some of you have done that. Prophet comes into town, bright orange pants, bright orange shirt, pink hat, you know. But it's not just talking about that individual prophecy. I'm talking about the corporate prophecy. When a prophet brings a word and says, God's doing this in this house, you can grab that word. You can declare that word. And this is what the Bible says about prophecies. It says this, these things I have spoken to you. This is John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace in this world. You are in this, but in this world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now let me go. That's talking about, he's told us these things. So why does he give us a prophecy? It's to hold strong when our circumstances don't look like the prophetic word that was released over our life. It's hold strong. And if you're like, well, I don't know if that's true. Well, Paul did it with Timothy. So I'm going to go off of his word. Okay. He said this in 1 Timothy 1:18. This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them, the prophecies, you may wage the good warfare. Why I want to be in a prophetic church is because when I have a prophecy that I'm going to advance or move forward, but my circumstances and my bank account and my my followers on Instagram and everything else is looking like I'm going this way, I hold to that prophetic word. I'm just joking about the Instagram followers. I hold to that word. That was way funnier in my head. Sorry. I hold to that word that God is still moving in my world. When the kids are off their rockers, but you've been bringing them to church, and the word says, you know, that those who are raised in the house, or those who are planted in the house will prosper. You know, it says that raise up your children the way they should go and they won't depart from when they're older. You got to hold to those words when the circumstances don't line up. And a prophetic word, man, if I could tell you all the times I have had to come home and I've been in a struggle or a battle or discouragement. Nothing defeats discouragement like a prophetic word. So whenever a prophet comes, whenever a pastor gives you a prophetic word, whenever you come up to pray and somebody speaks a word of you, make sure you write it down. Because God's giving, prophetic word by definition is something that's going to happen in the future. He's giving it to you for the future. Yeah, they feel great now, but they were intended to hold you strong for the future. The battle to get you from Friday to Sunday, like Pastor Chittick talked about last Sunday night. I love being in a prophetic church. I love hearing stories of it coming true. I remember I was with a young lady on our worship team and she was going through a really tough season and I was praying for her and job transitions and different things. And I just felt the Holy Spirit tell me to start prophesying. I prophesied that within 3 months, she was gonna have her dream job. And I line all these things up and as I'm prophesying, I'm like, God, please, this sounds so exact. There's no way. Am I out of line? But I'm like, no, I feel it in my spirit. Prophesy. She runs up to me just a week ago and she's like, you're not gonna believe what happened. The dream job, the perfect situation, still get to do ministry. Everything came to pass. Another time, just recently, I was at North Campus, and this girl that came up and prayed, and she was in a rough situation. She lived across the country, and as I'm praying for her, I feel the Holy Spirit declare something. So I declare, within a year's time, you're going to live here in San Diego and be a part of this church. And I'm like, what did I just do? The situation does not make sense. So I kind of forget about that word. And I'm at North Campus, and she runs up to me, and I don't recognize her. She's like, oh my gosh, do you remember me? I was like, no, you know? No, I'm so sorry. She's like, you prophesied. And then I remembered right there when she said, you prophesied a year ago. And that was a week ago. And last week was my first Sunday here at North Campus. To the day. Prophecy, being a church that has prophecy. Why I love church, point number three. I love church because there's people in church. Because my people are in the house of God. You're meant to do life together. We're in the business of people. Listen, let me just get a couple of things out of the way. We're doing business with people, so if you really don't want to be in a church where you'll ever get offended, it's not going to work. Unless it's a one-person church. And even I can offend myself sometimes, so that's not even likely. I've been offended by myself sometimes, right? You will never be a church where there's no opportunity to be offended because people aren't perfect. But being in community is so important. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12 says this, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up the companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Anybody remember, this is my generation again, anybody remember when it was socially acceptable to rollerblade? Remember those days? Come on, there was a season, young people, where it was socially acceptable. And God's providence lined up the same time it was socially acceptable to be a rollerblader, Mighty Ducks movies started coming out. Can I get an amen from somebody who remembers a knuckle puck, a flying V, changing the game? So in this perfect collide of rollerblades being acceptable and the Mighty Ducks movies, I got into roller hockey, okay? I remember I was in like fourth grade. I remember I had my cousin who was in second grade and a friend named Mike, who was crazy, by the way, but that's not part of the story, in fifth grade. And we would go to the church parking lot, our old town in Oakdale, and play roller hockey every day, all summer. I'm not kidding you. 3 months every day, all we did was practice the flying V, play roller hockey. And one day, we're doing our thing, and these sixth graders, three of them, roll up on their grinding rollerblades with the two smaller wheels in the middle, just for any bladers in the house, okay? They roll up with their hockey sticks. They're like, hey, we want to play you. And we're like, let's go. Let's go. It's on. Quack, 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 quack. We didn't do that. But we started going. And let me tell you something. It's one of my proudest moments of my childhood. We spanked these sixth graders. I mean, spanked. I mean, I was like, knuckleback, boosh, you know, I was backhands, like anything. We just dominated them. But the reason that happened, now that I realize, is because we had been doing this every day together for months, not intending for it to necessarily be a weapon to defeat the evil sixth graders, but we've been doing this for months. And that's what doing a connect group and being in community and having people in life is like. You don't realize until you hit trouble, until an enemy comes up, that you've been training for this because you got friends that have been sharpening you, making you mighty, and you're equipped, and you're ready. Get in a connect group. I want to do a little test here. How many people have been or are in a connect group? Oh my goodness, look at all those hands. Now put your hand down. How many of you would say that that was a good choice in your life? Hello, same amount of hands. More hands, I don't know how that happened, but get yourself plugged into a connect group. Get yourself plugged into community. Trust me, you might not need it now. You might think things are fine now, but you will need it. You will need it. And make sure you have been sharpened by other people along the way so when the time comes, you will take down those sixth graders. Come on, live stream. All right, next, number four, why I love church. Purpose. Purpose. Man, I forget what people not in the house of God, like how much they're starved for something that matters. You ever meet somebody who's like really passionate about something really not that important, but like it's become their life mission? You know, like hairless cat rescue, like that is their life mission. And everything, you know, they've got support groups for the cats. Their whole life revolves around this. And nothing against hairless cats, actually a lot against them. They're demonic, but they are. All cats are, but those ones are the chief demon cats. Sorry for cat lovers. But come back, Holy Spirit, come back. But you get in the house of God and you start to get a purpose for people. And if you don't feel that passion, can I encourage you? I guarantee if you don't feel a passion for people, that one of the key reasons is probably you're not serving yet. Because once you get yourself serving and you get a little skin in the game, and you see people on the altar get free from drug addiction, get their marriages restored, get their life set on a great path, and you're like, I played a part. They were mad when they came in the parking lot, but I smiled the heck out of them. I let them know they're in a happy place. And I made them smile back at me, you know? Getting a purpose. And here's the deal. It's in his purpose we find our purpose. Because we were all made for a purpose. But Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but to serve. And there's something about stepping into serving your city, serving your church, serving the people in the house that activates the God call in your life. The reason I'm up here, I didn't come out of the womb preaching, okay? I didn't know that this was something I was gonna do, but I was serving in the house. And I was listening to messages like, man, I think I would like to say it like this, I would do this. And I started to get this itch inside me because I was serving, I was around it. And then because I was serving, it was like, hey, why don't you share about serving? Why don't you share about being in a connect group? And next thing you know, it's just God activates your purpose in the house. So I love the house of God. And can I just stop real quick, because I'm going to go into my next point and I'm going to ask the keys to come up. But the reason I'm preaching why I love the house of God is because next week is Super Bowl Sunday for inviting people. Let me encourage all of you. I know you might have plans, but the 9-11 are going to be packed. So bring people, but bring them to a service so we make seats for those who are just randomly going to show up. Actually pay a little price and be involved with the Super Bowl Sunday of evangelism. For some reason, no matter how bad of a heathen people are, they're like, it's Easter, I'm supposed to go to church. It's like a clock, alarm clock. Oh, crap, gotta go to church, it's Easter. This is our opportunity. So be the inviter. But I want you to have a passion for the house. Remember why we're here. We're gonna pray for people about all these things, finding your purpose, getting those prophetic words in your life, all these things. So the next one, the reason I love the house of God is I see the providence of God. I don't know if you've noticed all my points start with a P. It's pretty cool. That takes work, people, okay? Appreciate that. The providence of God. What is providence? It's seeing a divine working behind the scenes. And there's something about once you step into the house of God that all of a sudden it's like, wait, what? Oh my gosh. God set that up, and God set this up, and then God brought this person. And even though they're not here now, they were here then. And then they said this, and that brought me to this. And then I met this person. Every person I talk to that's plugged in this church, if you ask their story how they got here, it's providence. It's God working behind the scenes. Romans 5 talks about this. It says, while we were yet far from him, while we were yet sinners, he died for us. He activated the salvation in the world. While we had nothing to offer, and we still actually don't. But now, just a side caveat for those of you who are maybe going through some right now. Now you're saved. Now you know Jesus. And he gave everything before when you were an enemy to Christ. And now you're worried he's not going to have your back now. He's got you. But going back to the point, the providence of God. I remember a young man came into our church and got radically empowered by the power of God. And before that, he was in a hardcore band writing lyrics about how much they hated church. And he gets so radically impacted, he starts doing the internship, and we're just chatting. And he tells me his story about when he was a young teenager, he went on a mission trip in Ensenada, Mexico. And he told Jesus in that moment, I want to go into ministry. And I look at him and I say, I know the exact hill. I know the exact trip. I know the exact place. Because at the same age, years before you, that's where I said, I want to go into ministry. And the impact that had on him, the providence of God. Because when the devil comes to him and says, there's no way you could be in ministry after what you've walked through, what you've done, he says, well, look, my pastor, the same place, he said the same thing. He's walked through some same struggles, and he's still here. It's the providence of God. Just even little things like we have two leaders, Tanae, one of our fearless college leaders, and Charisse, one of our fearless college leaders. They're now best friends, but the providence that makes them best friends, the providence that makes, you know, them close is they share the name Tanae. Charisse's middle name is Tanae. They were baptized on the same exact day here at this church, not knowing each other. Their birthday is the exact same day. And so they meet at Connect, and they're like, do we just become best friends? Do you want to go do karate in the garage? Yes. And now they're best friends. God's providence is in his house. It's funny. He's working in your life when you're not here, but you don't see it till you get here. I want to encourage you. Some of you have friends that you're like, oh man, they would never come to church. But God has been working behind the scenes. But God has been doing things that you don't know about. And they're gonna walk in here on Easter Sunday, and the worship's gonna start. And somebody had said something, and then a song is gonna come on. It's gonna be the exact same words, and they'll go, oh my gosh, that's God. God has been working on my behalf. God has been moving on my behalf. The providence of God is in the house. You can activate it. Get them here. It's so true. You will be blown away. And people will be like, you're the greatest evangelist in San Diego. No, I just got them to see the providence of the Lord because they got in the presence of the Lord. I love the house of God. Church is the only place. Philippians 1:12. Let me start here. Philippians 1:12. Christ is preached. But I want you to know, brethren, this is Paul writing to the church, that the things which happened to me, they were bad things, have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. Church, the providence of God, this is the only place I know where somebody's mistakes become the weapon that they kick the enemy's butt once God shows up in their world. This is the only place where you're jacked up, messed up, backwards thinking gets turned around, and everything you did that caused grief, that caused hurt, that caused shame, God begins to turn around like a wave that crashes into your family, that crashes into your workplace, that crashes onto your school. He begins to use your jacked up to be the message, to be the power. We overcome by the power of his blood and the word of our testimony. Don't be ashamed that you are a heathen. Okay? Don't be ashamed. Make sure people know. I used to be jacked up. But Jesus. Man, so many people. We put on this fake facade, and we're the generation that has social media where we take 50 pictures to post one that looks right. And we put this facade out, but people feel like they're not good enough. People feel like they're a failure. People feel like they know they're junk. They know they're ish. And they're just waiting for someone to say, I know what that's like. I've done that too. But God, but Jesus. Some of you have been put through the ringer in your life. You have been through stuff. And the providence of God is he is waiting for you to forgive and release and get healed up, because that will be your greatest source of strength to bring pain to the enemy for what he's done, to bring hurt to the enemy, to make him lose ground at your work, at your school, with your friends, with your family. You are the answer, and your pain and your issues are what validate the fact that God is ready to use you. The providence of God. Two more. Number six reason I love the house of God is praise. The praise. Can I encourage you? One, because I freak out when I walk out during the first song and I see a lot of empty chairs. But two, don't miss the songs. It's not just the musical time of church. It's not just song time. It's not sing-along. You know, Disney sing-along. Like, that's not what this is about. There is power in the praise. Psalms 104 says this, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and to his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Enter into his courts with praise. I grew up in a neighborhood, like a track home neighborhood, and it was like a brand new thing. And so there were a million kids in my neighborhood. And in the summer, I would coordinate. It's embarrassing to even call them. It doesn't give it justice to say hide and seek games. These were epic 50 kid, extreme ninja, dodging, running, hiding, taking over a neighborhood, epic. I'm not kidding you. These hide and seek games were legendary. You dreamed of summer when you could go outside and play hide and seek in the neighborhood, but they would get so big and, you know, people would be up at the point. There's nothing like the feeling when with everything you have, you're making that run and then you get to base. Oh, base. The place where you can look slightly winded and just look at the person who's it and be like, you failed. You are one pathetic loser. Go look for the rest of them. Because I am here and I am a winner and I will not be it. Enter his courts with praise. The devil can't get anything on you when you're in praise mode. Because not only are you declaring, despite your circumstance, despite what it looks like, despite your kids being off the rocker, despite your grandkids being out of control, despite what it looks like, not only are you declaring the truths of God, which are power and God wants to activate them, but you're using it in a way that the devil used to sing. He used to be the worship leader. All hell hates praise. Praise, it shakes hell up. Because the Bible says every knee will bow and tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. And when you let some form of melody come out of your mouth, for some of you that's not as good, but the bottom line is you're still letting, you're sending out these vibrations about the goodness of God, and they're echoing through your world and they're declaring over your world. There have been times, honestly, probably the more aggressive you see me praying or praising, that there's more stuff going on in my life. But I leave those praise experiences knowing that God is in control and that he wins and that he's got me. And what I love is somebody who knows nothing about the Bible yet, knows nothing about it. The beauty of music is it's like they begin to declare the word of God over their life, not even knowing what they're doing. And God is waiting. God is waiting for those words to be declared so he can confirm them. In a sense, it's like for new people, we trick them into declaring the goodness of God over their life so God can actually do it. Praise is our weapon. There's a story in 2 Chronicles 20, in case you're doubting me, this is in the Bible, 2 Chronicles 20, 21, 22. And the gist of the story is Israel's surrounded, God's people are about to get whooped, and God tells the king, send out the worship team first. And the worship team's like, huh? But they send out the worship team first. And it says this, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. And they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now when they began to sing the praise of the Lord, it set ambushes against the people of Ammon. You want to ambush the devil in your world? Get your praise on. Get your praise on. Ben, I think we might in a minute get ready to get our praise on. So I just want you to be ready. I'm going to talk about one more point. But I want to be ready. Get your praise on today. I'm going to give us an opportunity to get our praise on. It's our weapon. It's your weapon, live stream. Last point, point number seven. Seventh reason that I love church is I love that there's power. That the power of God is here. The power of God is ready to move on your behalf. This is a powerhouse. This is a place where God is hovering over because we've entered his gates with praise and he's waiting to confirm his word and his power in your world. We had a young man come in this church a couple years ago, 3 years ago now. He was tricked into coming into here. Thought he was going to Warped Tour. Isaac. Came. Got tricked and came to empower. And the providence of God, God had already been working in his world. And he'll tell you, and I can share this because this is his story, but he was working in his world while he was a drug dealer. But he walked in this house, and it wasn't, you know, anything except for he said he felt the power of God. And he came up here and he got prayed for and got blasted with the Holy Spirit and got hit by the power of God. And that night burned everything he had that had drug paraphernalia. He had bought drug paraphernalia. Showed up the next day, joined the internship. Been dominating in ministry ever since. Man of faith, praying for it. Now he hustles in faith. Now he hustles in the Holy Spirit. Now he hustles in God's presence. This kid just got married too. Hello. Back from his honeymoon today. God is good. This kid sometimes will be in meetings and I'll be, and he'll be like, no, he has more faith than me sometimes. Like, dang it. Holy Spirit, give me some faith. This kid has faith because he's experienced the power of God. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says this, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. But in power. We're about to go into some ministry time right now because you're going to leave here empowered, empowered to invite people. Not out of an obligation, not out of like, oh, God will be happy with me if I do this or that, because your heart is going to be so filled with the love of God and the power of God that you can't help. Like the apostles, when they were said, you need to stop preaching, and they said, we can't. Like physically, we can't. We have seen too much. We have heard too much. We have to. We have to. So stand to your feet for a minute. Praise band, you can start to get us ready here. So I said earlier that when the word of God is proclaimed, God gets ready to confirm it. So I'm not going to bring my words, but I'm going to read a psalms to you. And I want you to realize that these words are gonna be released. And after we release these words, we're gonna begin to praise God into our circumstance. I'm gonna have the ministry team up here. And don't be shy. If you want prayer, if you need a prophecy, if you need God to move on your behalf, if you need help to activate these words, we're gonna be up here and we're gonna pray with you. But even where you are, you can just praise your way into these words. But remember that when these words are proclaimed, God is wanting to confirm in your world. Psalms 103 verse 2 says this, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives all my iniquities, all my sins. There's forgiveness in this house today. There is forgiveness. Whatever you've done, God will forgive you. He forgives all my iniquities. He heals all my diseases. Tonight, there's going to be healing in the house of God. You've been plagued with a sickness, and God says, enough is enough. My word has been proclaimed, and I'm ready to confirm it in you. Tonight's the night I'm going to confirm. I heal all your sick, not some, all your sicknesses. He forgives. I keep going to forgives all your iniquities. Somebody needs forgiveness. Let's go. Who redeems your life from destruction? Maybe your finances are in a wreck. Maybe something's facing to destroy your life. He's ready to redeem it. He crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. He satisfies your mouth with good things. Good things. Maybe you've been having bad things happen to you. And tonight's the night that's time to break off that. And good things start coming to you. Good things are supposed to be coming to you. The word's out there. Jesus wants to. He wants to. He wants to show you. Last one, he satisfies your mouth with good things and that your youth would be renewed like eagles. Some of you are just tired. Some of you are just tired. So the word's out there right now and it's hovering over here. And the worship team's about to go into this song right now. And I want to encourage you, don't leave. I will close the service, but for the next few minutes, let's begin to create an atmosphere where God, with faith, can start to show himself over the words that he said. They're his words. So he's the one who says, this is what I want to do. These are his words. Forget not all his benefits. We're going to praise our way into that. And our ministry team's going to be up here. And if while we're praising, you say, you know what? I'm ready. I'm ready for God to show up and do what he said he's going to do. I'm ready for breakthrough. Tonight's my night. Tonight's my night. Tonight is the night. I'm not leaving here without it. Let's begin to lift Jesus up. Ministry team to the front. Let's go.
Oh, Holy Spirit, burn like a fire, all consuming, consuming. Here in your presence, Lord, I surrender to your glory.
Come on, just raise your hands, oh Holy Spirit.
Oh, Holy Spirit, burn like a fire.
here for a minute. Stay in this praise. Stay in this praise. Continue to reach out to God. Continue to reach out to God. The greatest blocker of God's power in our world is unforgiveness. Some of you aren't feeling the power of God moving right now because there's unforgiveness in your heart. Somebody did something wrong, and forgiving them does not justify what they did. But God tonight is saying, I want you to forgive. Some of you, you need to forgive yourself. You're not feeling the power of God because you don't think you can be forgiven for what you've done, but God is here today and stopping this service to tell you, I can forgive you. And so right now, everyone lift your hands. Holy Spirit, if we have not forgiven somebody in our world, no matter how bad it hurts, no matter how long it's been, would you bring them to mind right now? God, and give us the power and the strength right now to forgive those who have wounded us, those who have hurt us. God, right now we give them up to you. We release our desire to get revenge. We do not need to hold them captive anymore, but we forgive them. We forgive our father. We forgive our mother. We forgive our sister. We forgive our brother. We forgive that family member. We forgive that friend for that betrayal. We forgive right now in the name. We forgive that grandparent. We forgive. We let them go. And right now, in the power of God, we forgive ourselves. We say, I accept your forgiveness, Jesus. I ask you into my heart. Forgive me. Wash me clean. Let me feel your power tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, pray some more. Let me encourage you. That's church. That's seven reasons I love church just happened right now. If you still need ministry, if you're not totally free, if you need to get prayer, if you need to confess that unforgiveness, whatever you got to do, the ministry team's going to stay up here. But we want to give you, you know, time to pick up your kids and take some out to dinner. Let me encourage you one last time. Tonight, God did something in your world. Use all these cards. Pay it forward. Nothing sticks it to the devil and lets him know that the change is for real and serious than you using what he did and sticking it to him and bringing people to church. So if you got morning plans you can't get out of, then be at the 3. And if you got afternoon plans you can't have, then go to the 7. Let's make room. Live stream, make your way out here next week. Get in the building. But we love you. Thank you for joining us online all over the world. Have a great Sunday. Have a great rest of the week. Church, we love you. Band's still going to play, and we're still going to do ministry, so feel free to get ministered to. Have a great night. Go invite somebody out to dinner. We love you guys. See you next Friday and then Sunday.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.